Hello and welcome to Season 2 of the LifeSpring One-Year Bible Rewind. My name is Steve Webb and I'm your OG Godcaster. If you're new to the show, welcome. I hope you'll stay with us the entire season as we read through the entire Bible in a year. And by the way, with your joining us, I consider you a LifeSpring family member, and I'm so glad you're here. If you're a returning LifeSpring family member, I'm so happy to see you again. Please introduce yourself to the new members and make them feel at home. In Season 2 here, The Rewind Show, we'll hear Season 13 of the LifeSpring One-Year Bible. Are you ready to get started? Let's go.
I want him to see a heart set apart for him.
Hello and welcome to the first episode of Season 13 of the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. This is the daily podcast where we'll read through the entire Bible in a year. And podcasting since 2004, I'm your OG Godcaster, Steve Webb. I'm so glad you're here today. If you've been with me before, welcome back. And if this is your first time, wow, I'm glad you found the show. I hope you like what you hear and that you'll be back with me for the entire journey through God's Word this year. Now, I usually get to the reading pretty quickly on the show, but since this is the first episode of the season, I want to sort of give you the lay of the land to let you know how things are going to work. Your comments about what you've heard on the show are always welcome. More than welcome, really. I'll share some of the comments from the LifeSpring family members on the show. And by the way, if you're new here, that's what I call the listeners to the show. You're just not plain old listeners. You're family. You are the LifeSpring family. I don't want you to just listen to the show. I want you to participate like a family does. You are very much a part of the show. It's kind of like a family potluck dinner. When everybody brings something, it's better for everybody. There's more variety and, well, more flavors. I do rely on your contributions in many ways, and we'll talk more about that as we go along. So please stick around for a while and see if the show adds to your day and your life. My prayer is that it will add to your life and that you'll be back many, many times. Now, let me take just a moment before we begin reading to tell you about the reading plan. I found this plan a few years ago at Bible.reading.com, and the owner, Michael Coley, graciously gave his permission for me to use it here. I like the plan because it takes us through the Bible in such a way that we get a nice variety over the course of a week. On Sundays, we read from the section of the New Testament known as the Epistles. Those are the books from Romans through Jude. On Mondays, we read from the section of the Bible known as the Torah, or the Pentateuch, or the Law. Those are the first five books of the Old Testament. On Tuesdays, we read from the Old Testament books of history, and those are the books from Joshua to Esther. On Wednesdays, we read from the Psalms. On Thursdays, we read from the other Old Testament books of poetry, Job through the Song of Solomon. On Fridays, we read from the prophetic books. Those are the books from Isaiah through Malachi in the Old Testament. And then we'll finish up the year in the book of Revelation on Fridays. Now, Saturdays, we read from the Gospels. That's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the Acts of the Apostles. After each day's reading, I'll share some of my thoughts with you about what we've read. I'll talk about sort of what grabbed my attention. And I'll sometimes share what Bible commentators have written, people like Charles Spurgeon and G. Campbell Morgan and many, many others. Now, I will be posting the reading plan for the year at lifespringmedia.com/schedule, and I encourage you to read ahead and send me your thoughts or questions ahead of time. I'll try to address your questions in my comments, and I'll share your thoughts on the show. And I try to make it as easy as possible for you to interact with me. You can email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. And when you send me an email, put show comment in the subject line. That way I can easily spot your email when it comes in. There's also a page at lifespringmedia.com where you can contact me. That's at lifespringmedia.com/contact. You can comment on the show notes page for each episode. And I would love it if you would record a comment on the LifeSpring Family comment line. That's it. 951-732-8511. Now, on that comment line, in addition to comments, you can leave a prayer request or a praise. For prayer requests, you can remain anonymous if you like. I'll pray for you in my own quiet times, and I'll share your prayer requests and your praises, by the way, on the show. If you've got a praise, that's a great way to give God the glory and to be an encouragement to our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Again, that number is 951-732-8511. I'd really like to include your voice right here on the show. Now, one more thing before we start reading. This show is, and it always will be, free. It's free for you to listen, to comment, and to share your prayer requests and praises. And it's always going to be free from advertising. I don't take advertisers of any kind on the show because with advertisers comes restrictions. Advertising is a sort of censorship, and I need to be free to present God's word with no compromise, no matter what the current culture wants me to say. Some people don't like to hear the truth of the Bible, but you're always going to get the truth here, just as God reveals it in His Word. But with that said, there are some very real expenses in creating the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, not to mention the very significant amount of time that it takes for me. So if you receive any benefit, any value from the show, I ask that you help with those expenses by returning some of that value to me. The amount is completely up to you, of course. I encourage you to pray about it and then do what the Lord leads. You can learn all about this process at lifespringmedia.com/support. Now, if you have one of the new modern podcast apps, you can send value to me in the form of Satoshis as you listen. Check out the Fountain app, the Podverse app, or a host of other apps that you can find at newpodcastapps.com. The LifeSpring Family Audio Bible is free, like I said, but when you donate, I'll thank you, and I believe that God will bless you for supporting the show. Go to lifespringmedia.com/support to find out all about it. Now, let's begin our journey together through the Word of God. And since this is Sunday, our reading will be from the epistles. We'll begin with the book of Romans. We'll read chapters 1 and 2. Before the reading, I will have a short introduction to the book of Romans for you. Before I begin reading Romans, let me share with you what some of Christianity's most noted people have said about it. Martin Luther, the guy that started the whole Protestant Reformation, wrote, "It is the chief part of the New Testament and the perfect gospel, the absolute epitome of the gospel." And then the guy that followed Luther, Philip Melanchthon, called Romans the compendium of Christian doctrine. John Calvin said of the book of Romans, "When anyone understands this epistle, he has a passage open to him to the understanding of the whole Scripture." Samuel Coleridge, the English poet and literary critic, said Paul's letter to the Romans is the most profound work in existence. Frederick Godet, the 19th century Swiss theologian, called the book of Romans the cathedral of the Christian faith. And then 20th century commentator G. Campbell Morgan said Romans was, quote, "the most pessimistic page of literature upon which your eyes ever rested," unquote, and then at the same time, quote, "the most optimistic poem to which your ears ever listened," unquote. Well, I'm not as eloquent as these gentlemen, but I'll say that the book of Romans perfectly states the case that every human is in desperate need of the salvation offered by Jesus. And once received, nothing and no one can take it away. What Jesus did in His birth, life, death, and resurrection is sufficient to bring eternal life to anyone who believes in and follows Him. So let's get started. Romans chapter 1. This letter is from Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, chosen by God to be an apostle and sent out to preach His good news. God promised this good news long ago through His prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The good news is about His Son. In His early life, He was born into King David's family line, and He was shown to be the Son of God when He was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is Jesus Christ our Lord. Through Christ, God has given us the privilege and authority as apostles to tell Gentiles everywhere what God has done for them, so that they will believe and obey Him, bringing glory to His name. And you are included among those Gentiles who have been called to belong to Jesus Christ. I am writing to all of you in Rome who are loved by God and are called to be His own holy people. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Let me say first that I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith in Him is being talked about all over the world. God knows how often I pray for you. Day and night I bring you and your needs in prayer to God, whom I serve with all my heart, by spreading the good news about His Son.
One of the things I always pray for is the opportunity, God willing, to come at last to see you. For I long to visit you so I can bring you some spiritual gift that will help you grow strong in the Lord. When we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours. I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, that I planned many times to visit you, but I was prevented until now. I want to work among you and see spiritual fruit, just as I have seen among other Gentiles. For I have a great sense of obligation to people in both the civilized world and the rest of the world, to the educated and uneducated alike. So I am eager to come to you in Rome too, to preach the good news. For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first, and also the Gentile. This good news tells us how God makes us right in His sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the Scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. But God shows His anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because He has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see His invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature, so they have no excuse for not knowing God. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship Him as God or even give Him thanks, and they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator Himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulged in sex with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relations with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men, and as a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserved. Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, He abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They invent new ways of sinning, and they disobey their parents. They refuse to understand, break their promises, are heartless, and have no mercy. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die, yet they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them too. Romans chapter 2. You may think you can condemn such people, but you are just as bad, and you have no excuse. When you say they are wicked and should be punished, you are condemning yourself, for you who judge others do these very same things. And we know that God, in His justice, will punish anyone who does such things. Since you judge others for doing these things, why do you think you can avoid God's judgment when you do the same things? Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that His kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? But because you are stubborn and refuse to turn from your sin, you are storing up terrible punishment for yourself. For a day of anger is coming, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. He will judge everyone according to what they have done. He will give eternal life to those who keep on doing good, seeking after the glory and honor and immortality that God offers. But He will pour out His anger and wrath on those who live for themselves, who refuse to obey the truth, and instead live lives of wickedness. There will be trouble and calamity for everyone who keeps on doing what is evil, for the Jew first, and also for the Gentile. But there will be glory and honor and peace from God for all who do good, for the Jew first, and also for the Gentile. For God does not show favoritism. When the Gentiles sin, they will be destroyed, even though they never had God's written law. And the Jews who do have God's law will be judged by that law when they fail to obey it. For merely listening to the law doesn't make us right with God. It is obeying the law that makes us right in His sight. Even Gentiles who do not have God's written law show that they know His law when they instinctively obey it, even without having heard it. They demonstrate that God's law is written in their hearts, for their own conscience and thoughts either accuse them or tell them they are doing right. And this is the message I proclaim, that the day is coming when God, through Christ Jesus, will judge everyone's secret life. You who call yourselves Jews are relying on God's law, and you boast about your special relationship with Him. You know what He wants, you know what is right, because you've been taught His law. You are convinced that you are a guide for the blind and a light for people who are lost in darkness. You think you can instruct the ignorant and teach children the ways of God, for you are certain that God's law gives you complete knowledge and truth. Well then, if you teach others, why don't you teach yourself? You tell others not to steal, but do you steal? You say it is wrong to commit adultery, but do you commit adultery? You condemn idolatry, but do you use items stolen from pagan temples? You are so proud of knowing the law, but you dishonor God by breaking it. No wonder the scriptures say, "The Gentiles blaspheme the name of God because of you." The Jewish ceremony of circumcision has value only if you obey God's law. But if you don't obey God's law, you are no better off than an uncircumcised Gentile. And if the Gentiles obey God's law, won't God declare them to be His own people? In fact, uncircumcised Gentiles who keep God's law will condemn you Jews who are circumcised and possess God's law but don't obey it. For you are not a true Jew just because you were born of Jewish parents or because you have gone through the ceremony of circumcision. No, a true Jew is one whose heart is right with God. And true circumcision is not merely obeying the letter of the law. Rather, it is a change of heart produced by the Spirit. And a person with a changed heart seeks praise from God, not from people. Paul's epistle or letter to the Romans is probably the most eloquent and developed presentation of God's plan of salvation in the entire Bible. It begins with an introduction in the first chapter up to verse 15, and then it moves into presenting the gospel in all of its intricacies through to the end of chapter 11. From chapter 12 through most of chapter 15, Paul shows how we're transformed by the power of God. And then the final verses of the book are some closing thoughts of a personal nature and a blessing. In the first chapter, Paul opens by introducing himself and how Jesus called him to be an apostle, which means messenger. And then he tells the Romans how much affection he has for them and how he wants to visit them, and he says how God accepts anyone who has faith. Later on, he'll talk much more about that, but here in his introduction, it's noted that the message is that God has made a way of saving all people, whether Jew or Gentile. And then Paul moves right along to showing the broken nature of mankind and the trouble they bring on themselves when they turn their heart on God. He says they have no excuse because God has revealed Himself in so many ways, but they reject Him anyway. And because of their insistence and stubbornness, God has turned them over to do as they will. Once God lets go, it doesn't take long to begin circling the drain into a life of depravity. He lists several different specific sins, and it's a list that, if we were to give each one a rating from 1 to 10, with the 1 rating being the most vile, the list might include sins with ratings of 9 or 10, all the way to 1. But that rating scale is a human construct. Each of those sins is something that God hates. Murder? Sure, we all agree on that. But arguing? Gossiping? Do those really belong in the same list? Well, according to Paul, they do. The point Paul is making is that we're all in desperate trouble, and a holy God is angry because of rebellious people who reject Him. Now, as a warning, I'll let you know that the next couple of chapters will consist somewhat of more of the same. He's addressed the Gentiles in chapter 1, verses 18 through 32, and then chapter 2, in the beginning of chapter 3, he addresses the Jews, and he talks about all mankind in the remaining verses of chapter 3. Of course, the reason he spends so much time talking about the brokenness of mankind is to establish the need for the sacrifice of Jesus and the entire plan of salvation brought to us by a forgiving and loving God. Now, if you've never read Romans, stick with me through the entire book. I'm pretty sure that you'll come out on the other side loving God more than you ever have. Now, in Romans 2, the Apostle Paul focuses on the Jew. Understandably, the typical Jew felt that he was way better than any non-Jew or Greek, as today's translation says, or Gentile, as is commonly used. I say understandably because the Jewish people are God's chosen people. It was them to whom God spoke. It was them to whom God gave the law. It was them to whom God gave his presence, and so on and so on. So they felt that they were inherently better than the Gentiles. They thought they had an inside track to God. But Paul, in this chapter of Romans, points out the hypocrisy in this idea of Jewish superiority. He tells them that anyone who does not obey the law will fall under condemnation, starting with the Jew. Why? Well, because they had the law. They were more responsible, because there was no way they could claim ignorance. And then he says in verse 23 and 24 of chapter 2, "You who boast in the law dishonor God by transgressing the law. For just as it is written, the name of God is being blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you." You see, the Jews had the idea that because they were circumcised as the law required, they had some sort of get-out-of-jail-free card. But Paul told them that it is not the circumcision of the flesh that mattered, but circumcision of the heart that God wanted. Circumcision was something that was a sign of being dedicated and set apart for God. And what God sees is not the flesh, but the heart. So when God looks at me, I want him to see a heart set apart for him. What about you? I invite your comments, and I'll share some comments from the LifeSpring family on the show. Remember, I don't want you to just listen. I want you to participate as a family does. You are very much a part of the show, so please comment at comment.lifespringmedia.com or email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Phone in your comment at 951-732-8511. I took the month of September off to get some much-needed rest at the end of Season 12, but some of you continued your monthly donations, and I want to thank you for that. LifeSpring family Berean, Brother Paul of Seattle, continued with his monthly $20 donation, and he also continued his weekly $22.22 Row of Ducks donations. Thank you, Brother Paul of Seattle. I appreciate you. Executive Producer Roderick sent in his monthly $50 donation in September, and I thank you for that, Roderick. God bless you. Executive Producer John also continued his monthly $50 donation. Thank you, John. God bless you. I appreciate you. Associate Producer Timothy LaFontaine sent in his monthly $20 donation. Thank you, Tim. God bless you. And Associate Producer Kirsty sent in her monthly $20 donation. Thank you, Kirsty. God bless you.
Booster Gray.
And Sean of San Pedro sent in several 1,234 boostograms while listening to some of the episodes of the LifeSpring Hymn Stories. One of them said, "Great show." Well, thank you for that, Sean of San Pedro. And Wayne Henderson, somebody I've known for a long time, sent in four separate Striper boostograms of 777 sats. And he said, "In the morning." Well, in the morning to you, Wayne. Thank you for your courage. And John sent in a boostergram of 1278 sats at the beginning of my September break. And he said, "Godspeed, Brother Steve." Well, thank you for that nice send-off, John. God bless you. And then to wrap up, Sir Jeremy of the Crooked Eye sent in a couple of 100 sat boosts. Thank you, Sir Jeremy of the Crooked Eye. Thank you. I thank each of you for your support. I appreciate every gift, and I pray that God will richly bless you. Beloved, if you like what you hear, if you think that the show is worth your time, if it has value for you, then please convert that value to a number that makes sense to you, and then go to lifespringmedia.com/support, where you'll see several different ways that you can donate. The Bible says the workman is worth his hire. The Apostle Paul said that those who bring the word to you should be supported. Well, you can make a one-time donation or sign up for a weekly or monthly or quarterly donation at lifespringmedia.com/support. We're going to be doing prayer requests and praises on Wednesdays and Sundays this year.
Of course, you can always send in your praises and prayer requests 24 hours a day, but I'll share them on Wednesdays and Sundays. Phone them in at 951-732-8511 or go to prayer.lifespringmedia.com where you'll find a form. Share whatever information you want me to have, and if you prefer, you can remain anonymous. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." Romans 12:12 says, "Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer." And Matthew 18:20 says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them." This is why we are going to be sharing together on the show. Now, since this is the first show of the season, I don't have any prayer requests from you, so I'll just pray from my heart. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word and for another season of the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. As we begin once more, Lord, I pray that you would be glorified and that you would use this podcast to bring us closer to you. Teach us, Lord, what you would have us to know. I pray, Lord, that you would bring people to the show this year who are hungry to know you. I thank you and I pray for the LifeSpring family, Lord, that you would bless each one as they listen and think about what they hear this year. May your Holy Spirit open their minds and their hearts to understand and embrace your word. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. Thank you for being an active God who is concerned with even the smallest details of our lives and who is even now working to make us the people that you want us to be. Help us, Lord, to respond to your leading. You, Lord, are the creator of all that is. There is none higher than you. We thank you for your mercy and for your grace. And Lord, now I pray for Kathy as she goes through treatment for cancer. She's been sick, Lord, for so long, and I pray that these treatments will be used by you for her healing. I pray that you would strengthen her, and I pray, Lord, that you would help Dell as he cares for her at home. We pray, Lord, for those in Florida who have lost family members, they've lost property, they've lost businesses, and more as a result of Hurricane Ian. I pray, Lord, that you would be with them, comfort and strengthen them. And Lord, I thank you for the many thousands of people that have traveled there from all parts of the country to help those who've lost so much. Bless those people, Lord. I pray that during this time, many would turn to you and find healing, peace, and comfort. And Lord, help me to be faithful to your word as I produce the show this year. And I pray, God, that you would use the words I speak to encourage, to challenge, and to bring people to Jesus. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Chapters, transcripts, images, links, stream micropayments to the podcast, and send Satoshis in real time over the Lightning Network using a compatible Podcasting 2.0 app. Just go to newpodcastapps.com. That's newpodcastapps.com. And for more info, go to podcastindex.org. Boost!
Be sure you're subscribed. If you're not, go to subscribe.lifespringmedia.com. There are links there to help you get subscribed, or in most podcast apps, just search for LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. And don't forget to go over to newpodcastapps.com to get one of those brand new, shiny podcasting 2.0 apps if you're still using one of those old legacy apps. Tell a friend about the show. One way we can make the world a better place is to get God's word into more hands and more ears, don't you think? That's what this show's all about. Remember, I want to hear from you. Call or comment in at 951-732-8511. I'll play your comments on the show. If you want to email me, you could do that at steve@lifespringmedia.com. In the subject line, put show comment. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. Thank you for being here. My name is Steve Webb. Bye.